When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
Why don't you get Mary or Greg, and why don't you call on us by name so we don't both start
okay.
talking?
Okay, you bet. Okay. Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the United Steelworkers. Well, an event coming up on Tuesday that I want to tell you about. A couple people from an organization called Just Elders have organized something that's going to be happening in Racine on Tuesday. Joining us now, Mary Gonzalez and Greg Galuzzo. They are both longtime community organizers who have a deep and rich history of helping people stand up for themselves. Welcome both to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for what you do. All right, let's give people the details they need to know right away. What will be happening Tuesday afternoon at Paul Ryan's office at 216 6th Street in Racine?
Well, and we'll be there at 1:30 on Tuesday, November 28th. So Just Elders is a group of angry old guys and old women who've been active in our organizations, unions, congregations, and who paid our dues and were really pissed off about what's happening to our country by the few and the rich. So we've been angry about everything really coming out of Washington, D.C., but the last straw was this supposed tax reform event, tax reform law that was passed by the House, and we feel that Paul Ryan has to be given a message that this is completely unacceptable. We're tired of what he's leading, what he's enabling, and we want him gone. And so we're organizing through the Internet and through our traditional way, which is phone calls and flyers, and we're going to get a couple hundred people there to protest. And it's just the beginning of a campaign to unseat not only him but the other people responsible for these atrocities.
Here is Mary, before you talk, let me just play a clip of Paul Ryan earlier this year talking about tax reform.
Thursday mornings, it's yoga mornings for me, so I got to get going to yoga, and that really helps me get through the day. I don't want you to steal my mantra, but my mantra in yoga is tax reform.
So his inner sense of peace is taking from the poor and giving to the rich.
Yes.
Mary, your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that Greg and I are married and we have 10 grandchildren. And we have four incredible daughters and they each have their families and they're doing okay. But it's a struggle for them and this makes it even worse. And it makes us so angry. Greg and I are so angry over how hard we have worked all our lives to make sure that our children would be educated, that our children would have opportunity. And here comes Paul Ryan and Trump and all these other people that like to say that this is what Americans want. This is not what Americans want. They're not listening to us. So I think we have to go and show up, and we have to start showing up everywhere. Now, Greg and I have been organizers all our lives, but so many people think they can't make a difference. And we want to encourage people to say, of course we can make a difference. We just have to show up. So that's why we're going. And I've invited a bunch of my friends here in the neighborhood. We've got a busload here from St. Paul Catholic Church, which is going to be right here on 22nd Place in Hoyne. At 11 o'clock, we're going to pull out. We're going to spend the whole day together. It's going to give us time to think and to plot and to rile ourselves up so that when we get there, we send a really strong message. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about this.
Years ago, well, it's about 5 years ago, Paul Ryan was marching in the Labor Day parade in Janesville, Wisconsin, of course, where he lives.
Right.
And he was confronted by some people that didn't exactly like all his support for these corporate free trade deals that had shipped so many jobs out of the country. Here is how Paul Ryan handled this young man who was unemployed.
I'm sorry. Nice to see you. I apologize. We're getting started here.
Okay, I just really need to ask you a question. I'm sorry.
Not right now, because we're just getting started. Do me a favor. Go to my website.
I have. I've read it.
Oh, then you know what I think we ought to do.
I know. Okay. And you think the same as Bush, and that's what I don't understand.
Well, we're just going to have to disagree on that, okay? Take care. I hope you do better.
I want to get jobs, and we just have different opinion about how to get them, okay?
So what should I have to work for to get a job? Should I have to work the same wages as in China? Should I have to work for $1 an hour?
If have a nice day,
is that
right.
The competitiveness that's needed?
Have a nice day, all right. Would you like some candy?
No.
Would you like a Packer Badger schedule?
So here it is, a Labor Day parade, and his response is, do you want some candy or a Packer or Packer schedule?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what we hope is Paul Ryan loses the next election, and we hope he becomes a working-class person, just like the people he's attacking. So he begins to understand what ordinary people are suffering every single day. I mean, my children have difficulty buying homes. I mean, everything is difficult. My grandchildren are getting very, very low-paying jobs, even though they're well-educated. And that's what's happening in America across the country. And this is, and now this tax bill just pushes more jobs out of the United States.
All right. Now, he says that this tax cut is going to give everyone, or this tax reform is going to give everyone a tax cut. Do you agree?
Absolutely not. The one who's going to really, I mean, I'm overwhelmed by the fact that the president himself will benefit $1 billion. That is disgusting to allow a law to be passed when you are the president and you stand to gain $1 billion. And at the same time, working class people, middle class people are going to take a big tax hit over the next several years, to say nothing of the deficit that they're projecting of over $1 trillion. So I think it's a lie.
Greg, sure. Most people think, you know, the generalization is, well, retirees are well off and that they're going to do well by this because they've got a lot of money in the stock market and investments. What sort of feedback are you hearing from other people and just elders, Greg?
Well, we read the newspaper, and there almost every analysis of this tax bill points out that, first of all, $1 trillion goes directly to corporations. And
can you speak up just a little bit, Greg?
Okay, well, we are people who read the newspaper, and by every analysis that I've read, the working class people, retirees on fixed income, poor people, they're all going to get, at best, peanuts, and at worst, direct tax cuts. Mary and I deduct health insurance from our income tax, and according to the Senate bill, we're going to lose that. As I was saying, it's absolutely clear that the corporations get $1 trillion of the supposedly $1.5 trillion deal. And are we guaranteed that these corporations are going to give take that money and invest it in this country? It's not their pattern. They're investing overseas, creating jobs for other people overseas, and the profits are being hidden in offshore accounts. And then the rich are getting the biggest amount, and although some people, it appears that their income tax might go down, the deductions are going down, are being lost. So most analysis say that people like us are not going to really receive any net benefit at all from this, but the rich sure will get their benefits.
I think the other thing that's important to note here is that we've seen analysis that show that the average person who retires has a total of $35,000 in their retirement fund or in the stock market or in a savings account. That's what they have. And so there's this fallacy that anyone who's retired is really sitting pretty. And that's not true. I mean, in my neighborhood, and I swear I have seen it, I have seen senior citizens in the grocery store buying dog food, and I know it's not for their dog. And this is a disgusting situation when someone works all their lives and winds up with $35,000 of savings to carry them on for the rest of their lives. And so they want to cut Medicare. They want to cut Medicaid. I personally have spent 30 years of my life, 40 years of my life, trying to defend the rights of people with disabilities because I had a disabled brother. They are going to get smashed with this bill. They're going to lose so many rights that they have fought so hard to gain through Medicare and Medicaid. So I'm worried about them too.
You know, it's pretty remarkable. The other day, I think it was Steve Mnuchin from the Trump administration was speaking to a group of CEOs, and he tried to prompt them that they were going to take the money that they would save from this tax bill and put it back into the economy and hire workers.
And they didn't said no.
They didn't raise their hands.
Right.
I'll pass on that one.
That's absolutely right. They did not raise their hands. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Not to mention the effective tax rate that they're paying is about the same as other countries. None of these corporations are paying 35%.
No one is. I mean, look at our president who has refused to release his own tax returns because he and we know exactly what we're going to find, that he doesn't pay taxes. And he says, well, you know, that's a loophole in the law. It's not my fault. Well, I think now he could repair that. But he's chosen to just benefit himself further.
Are you concerned that because that we're looking at such big tax cuts for corporations and wealthy people, that when crunch time comes a few years down the road and they have to start making cuts because the deficit is ballooning, that people on Medicaid and Medicare are going to pay? Well, I'll let you answer that one, Greg.
Absolutely. That's been a Republican strategy for years. Balloon the deficit, and then you have the perfect excuse to say, we don't want more deficit, so we're going to cut social programs for the poor, for the working class, for people with disabilities. And that's exactly what they're doing. They want to shrink the government. Well, that's sort of hypocritical that they're shrinking the government by expanding the deficit. This is part of their strategy. You know, these people have been hollering for the last 8 years what a horrible thing deficit spending is, and one year in Trump's administration, they want to expand the deficit by $1.3 trillion, and then they're going to be whining that, oh my goodness, we can't give money to Medicare, we can't give money to health care, we can't give money to support people on welfare, food stamps, all of that is under attack by this bill. So it's so outrageous that they're talking about it as being reform. It's just Robin Hood in reverse. You know, the poor are being taken from so that the rich can get even richer.
All right, stand by. We'll just take a brief second break here and pick it up. We're speaking right now to a couple pioneers in the organizing movement, Mary Gonzalez and Greg Galuzzo from Chicago. Again, they're going to be in Racine Tuesday, Paul Ryan's office, 216 6th Street, 1:30 p.m. Everybody spread the word. Let's show up and make sure that he hears us loud and strong. This tax reform bill is not reform. Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Hi there. My name is Ishmael Ozan, and many of you know me as the Dane County District Attorney, but I am also a husband and a father of two young girls. Today, I am asking you to make the choice my wife and I made to not use physical punishment with our children. Many of us are not aware that over 16 years ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics urged doctors to recommend that parents not use physical punishment on their children. Today, over 100 years of research on children and families supports this recommendation. Look, well-meaning parents may use physical discipline intending to teach their children to make good choices, but we now know that physical discipline actually leads to more disobedience and aggressive behaviors in children. We all want what is best for our kids. Today, we now know what is best for kids is parenting based on respect, mutual understanding, and logic, rather than fear of physical pain. Please join me in learning more about positive parenting and creating a violence-free home.
Paid for by the Dane County District Attorney's Office with support from UW Health American Family Children's Hospital.
We're back at sliceoffice.com. Joining me again, Mary Gonzalez and Greg Galuzzo. There's going to be a protest against the quote-unquote tax reform bill the House just passed and is now being debated in the Senate. Paul Ryan's office in Racine is at 216 6th Street. Before we go any further with Paul Ryan and this protest, Mary, you first, and then Greg, tell us a little bit about your background, because I want people in Wisconsin and actually around the country that listen to this podcast to know what you've done before you were involved in Just Elders.
Well, I'm from Chicago originally and grew up in a neighborhood called Pilsen, which is kind of a port of entry neighborhood. I became a leader many, many years ago in the 70s and worked as a leader in an organization. And the organization grew to have some pretty incredible significance in the city. And then in 1980, I entered into the profession of organizing. In 1986, my husband and I, my husband was the creator of the Gamaliel Foundation, which became a national network for creating organizations. And then we went international. We were in South Africa. We were in Great Britain. And so my husband was CEO for 25 years, and the network created some 50 to 60 community organizations, many of them statewide organizations. It took on a lot of campaigns. We're Alinsky-style organizers, and by the way, we're proud to say...
Oh, Sarah Palin's not going to like that.
...organizers, and we're really happy to come out of retirement. We should be sending thank you cards to all these Republicans and say thank you for giving us a good reason to come back in, because they hate Alinsky-style, even though they use all the tactics. They hate Alinsky-style organizers, and I'm one of them, and happy to say it. And so that's kind of been my history. I retired about 3 years ago. I'm still doing a lot of voluntary consulting in different parts of the country.
Not surprising that you wouldn't completely hang it up on this. Greg, you're a former Jesuit priest?
That is correct. I was in 1961, I entered a Jesuit seminary in Oregon, and from that very day, I took what I consider Christian teaching seriously, that we're supposed to be committed to the poor. I looked for ways of doing that. I started out doing kind of social service activity, and I found it, you know, not effective enough and sometimes insulting to the poor. And I bumped into community organizing in 1972. I was studying theology in California, and somebody said, why don't we go to Chicago and learn organizing? And I said, why not? And bumped into it, and I just found it to be the most wonderful way to live your life, to work with people, not for people, but with people, because it's only with them working on solving their own problems that any real solutions take place. So I became even addicted to this type of philosophy that people should organize themselves to demand their rights, to demand, to defend their rights, to share in this democracy of ours. I point out often that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees us the right to organize, and that's what we've been doing. Worked in Chicago first, then in Seattle, then came back to Chicago to Mary Gonzalez, and then the Gamaliel Foundation, as Mary said, spread throughout the United States. I tell people from Maui to Long Island and from Richmond to Duluth, Minnesota. We also, as Mary said, worked in Africa. So to me, this work is about my politics, my faith, and my values. And organizing gives me the opportunity to put all those three things together and have a great life because of it. But my having a great life is not what this work is about. It's about as many people as possible sharing in the incredible wealth of this country. And that's why we do this.
Did you ever get a chance to know, obviously, one of the legends from Wisconsin, Father Grappi?
Absolutely. Worked with his wife. I met him a couple of times, but one of our first projects was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, And there were all kinds of his disciples, his followers, his friends, his allies, who joined right away in our organizing effort. Our effort there was called MICA, is called MICA.
Sure.
Milwaukee Interfaith Coalition for Action and Hope. And yes, he was one of my heroes, as was Dan Berrigan, another Jesuit. Yeah, it's part of our Catholic tradition. I think right now it's being corrupted by people like Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, well, that's what a perfect segue into, let me play one more clip. I'm sorry that I have to make you listen to Paul Ryan, but here's Paul Ryan at a quote-unquote town hall meeting in Kenosha, which wasn't really a town hall meeting because CNN invited the guests. Not everyone could show up, but here is Paul Ryan answering a question from a retired nun.
Wisconsin, though.
Yep.
Good evening, Mr. Speaker. I know that you're a Catholic, as am I, and it seems to me that most of the Republicans in the Congress are not willing to stand with the poor and working class, as evidenced in the recent debates about health care and the anticipated tax reform. So I'd like to ask you how you see yourself upholding the church's social teaching that has the idea that God is always on the side of the poor and dispossessed, as should we be.
Spoken like a great Dominican nun. Look. Sister, this may come as a surprise to you, but I completely agree with you. Where we may disagree is on how to achieve that goal. As you know, we all exercise prudential judgment in practicing our faith. And for me, the preferential option for the poor, which is something that's a key tenet of Catholic faith, that means upward mobility. That means economic growth. That means equality of opportunity. That to me means working with this guy over here at Gateway Tech to make sure that we can close the skills gap, to make sure that every person who wants a career and job can get the benefits. We actually just passed this bill in July. Before that, we passed another skills bill. That means to me taking this 20th century poverty program that we have, which is we're in the 32nd year of the war on poverty, trillions spent, and guess what? Our poverty rates are about the same as they were when we started this war on poverty 32 years ago.
All right, that's a nice try. What he doesn't say is that things haven't exactly been static. Many of those poverty programs worked, but his economic policies and those of his predecessors have been making more poor people that were at one time stable middle-class citizens.
Well, if you want to quote scripture, Jesus said, by your fruits you shall know them. And what is the policies of people like Paul Ryan? They've worked to destroy the unions, which was the best safeguard we had in this country for the middle class. They've worked to reduce the amount of money going to people in poverty. They've certainly worked really, really hard to make sure the rich are not being taxed. In every other country, people know that the rich are the biggest beneficiaries of the military, the police, the people of government, and they should pay for what they're getting. But that's not happening in this country. The poor are paying for the rich to get richer. The policies of Paul Ryan and the Republican Party is subsidized the export of jobs overseas, destroy the unions, deregulate corporations, which allows them to pollute our land, our air, our water. This is hypocrisy on his part to say that the policies of the Democrats have created poverty, more poverty, or have not improved it. That's completely wrong. I worked in the civil rights movement in 1964, and in 1964 there were hardly any African Americans in public jobs, especially elected jobs, and now there's tens of thousands of them, all because of affirmative action, which was supported by the Democrats, fought against by the Republicans, because of the tax reform bills. The voting law bills, which right now the Republicans are trying to attack again. So by your fruits you shall know them. The fact is the Republican policy has led to the greatest disparity between the rich and the poor, the greatest concentration of wealth in the hands of the rich. And these people are grinning about it. They're calling us fools. Warren Buffett said, yes, there is class war in this country, and my class is winning. And their puppets in Washington, D.C. are the ones enabling to win.
Mary, before we go, I want to ask you about this, the uprising among elders and just elders and what you've started. You know, there's been an environmental movement. There's a labor movement, even though it's been under constant attack. We have, you know, transgender rights movement. When it comes to elders, elderly people that are older, vote in great numbers. But sometimes people associate older people with conservative. Is it time to redefine what the elder movement is?
I think it is. I mean, I think part of what we've been telling people is we might be old. We might even be retired, but we're not stupid. And we certainly understand, and we do vote in large numbers. And I think right now what I'm most excited about, I see so many young people out there organizing and attempting to make the very changes we're talking about. We got to partner with them, and maybe we're not going to be in the same room with them in the battle, but certainly we've got to be out there and begin to let them know that, like I said, we're old, but we're not dead, and we're not stupid, and we know exactly what's going to happen. And I think for someone like myself, and I'm not alone, the biggest issue people keep saying to me is, what are my children going to do? What are my grandchildren going to do? I'm not going to be here forever. What are they going to do? And I think this is a good question. I said to all my own daughters last night, you better get in this fight, because you stand to lose much more than I stand to lose. I'm 76 years old. You know, maybe I'll be here another 20 years. Hopefully, they're going to be here another 50 years. So I think that seniors are incredible people. They've got a little bit more time on their hands. They've got a wealth of experience. They have skills. They have talents. They have relationships. A few of them have some financial resources. We got to put all of that stuff to work and get this guy out of town. Put him in a job like the rest of America, where he's actually got to work for a living, and see what he thinks about it then.
Well, you know, after his remarks about candy to that young man in the Labor Day parade,
yeah,
I had organized a little protest out in front of his mansion in Janesville, and I bought a bunch of candy at the department store. I bought Dum Dum Pops and left them at his house.
I love it. Well, maybe you got to join us next Tuesday.
You know, if I wasn't working on the air on the radio, I would be there. But I'm doing my way to help. We're going to get this podcast out to as many people. And Ed Sedlowski from AFSCME is going to get this out to so many people. And I can't tell you what an honor it is to interview two people with such dedication to the workers' movement and to civil rights. I just honor you so much, both of you, for what you do.
Well, thank you so much. We're so happy to have the opportunity to tell our story on a podcast. I think
all right.
Exciting.
Mary Gonzalez and Greg Galuzzo, thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the great people at the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.